Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Moment with Self. I'm Dr. Daniel Sadiq, your host, and I'm really glad to be with you one more time and bring you some of the most amazing teachers, trainers, important people in my life, in other people's life, that they can share from their experiences, their knowledge, and bring some more information to you. Today with me, I have an amazing young woman that, you know, I have recently met and I have gained a lot of respect for. Her name is Sahara Rose, and she calls herself a gypsy soul. I want to bring her online and, you know, give you a little bit more information about her. Hello, Sahara. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to get to know you, and you know, I understand what you have done in a short time of your life that a lot of people do not achieve in a lifetime. So you are a certified Ayurvedic practitioner, a holistic health coach, sports nutritionist, emotional eating specialist, raw nutrition expert, yogi, philanthropist, free spirit, and you call yourself a gypsy soul. What is that all about?
Yes. Well, I just have a lot of interests, and I didn't want to limit myself to just one thing. So really anything that sparks my passion, I really strive for, because I feel like so many times we put ourselves in our box and we say, I am this or I am that, and we're quick to label ourselves. So for me, just anything that sparks my interest, I decided to go dive into and learn more about. So that's why I learned about different healing modalities and different cultures and rituals from around the world, and I like to integrate them all into the life of myself and my clients.
Well, I know that you were a featured guest speaker at Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign, and also at Harvard Medical School's Reflection in Action. Can you tell us a little bit about those two times that you've participated in these kind of events, and why did they choose you?
Yes, well, thank you so much for that. They chose me because I was able to really relate to young people. So with Michelle Obama, she's known for bringing healthy eating into the inner city school systems. So I taught 400 inner city middle schoolers about healthy living, and most of these children were on food stamps and did not have any access to healthy foods. And their mothers were working, you know, two to three different jobs and didn't have time to cook for them. But it was really inspiring to me because the questions they had for me were so advanced. They were asking me if brown rice was gluten-free and really specific things. And it goes to show that if given the opportunity, people really, really want to seek knowledge. It's just sometimes not presented for them. So that's where I really like to go to inner city areas or small villages and countries and teach them about the healthiest way to live, because I think these people are often overlooked.
I guess that's why I relate with you so much, since I guess the reason that we are working together in certain programs is we do the same thing in All In Health Foundation, which is bringing that lifestyle with total balance into the families' houses that cannot afford to have a lifestyle that we do on this side of the town, so, or this big city. So I congratulate you for what you're doing, and I guess this mission is a very valuable mission, and I believe in the process that you're undertaking.
Thank you so much for that.
Sure, my pleasure. And the reason I invited you to participate in this interview today is that we are doing a joint event called Total Balance, and I think the point that I was thinking, what's the most important part of this workshop, this retreat? And to me, it came out to happiness. And when I shared it with you, I felt that you had the same feeling, and we decided to talk about happiness today. And how do you see that connection? What is happiness to you?
Definitely, and I really agreed with you when you gave that suggestion, because I feel like happiness is really the reason that we strive to do everything that we do, the reason that sometimes we work jobs we don't like or maybe work out when we don't feel like it. It's really for the net goal of happiness. But oftentimes in our journey towards happiness, we lose sight of that and we fall stuck into these negative habits and routines. And it's really important to always take a step back and look at your life and say, Is everything I'm doing in some way contributing towards my overall happiness?
Well, so then let me ask you this question. Then what is happiness? How, if you want to describe happiness in your way of being, in your life, what does make you happy? What is it coming out of your daily lifestyle to bring you that happiness?
To me, happiness would be alignment when what you do and what you think are interconnected. So when the ambitions and things that you strive for are the actual things that you're integrating into your everyday life, that's happiness to me.
What a beautiful word you use, alignment. You know, that's really a great word, because to be balanced, you need to be aligned internally, externally.
Yes.
And that alignment, when you said that, with what you do and what you think. So, you know, a lot of us are just doers, a lot of us are just thinkers, and a lot of us are neither one of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. I hope not.
And not doers. So if you want to be aligned, then I guess based upon what you're suggesting, that our action and our thought process have to be aligned with each other. So then what happens to the emotion in this situation that you're talking about?
I think that a lot of the emotion that comes around happiness is really feeling proud of what you're doing, feeling productive and feeling like your life has a greater purpose to it. A lot of times we see people are very successful financially, but they're not happy. And then we see a homeless person on the street who's singing and dancing, and we question and we say, how come he has this sense of happiness that we do not have? So I think it's really feeling like that you're living your life's highest purpose.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you throw in another very important word, and I want to emphasize on that. Being productive, productivity, having utility, being
mm-hmm.
utilized. The point of life, to me, is just the same thing. You know, to be able to have output that is supporting you and supporting others. You know, it's something that we are capable
of. Yes, definitely.
That it's not just for us. It sustains us to begin with. It enables us. It gives us the strength, stamina, to stand up on our own 2 feet and have the capability of offering our hands to somebody else through that utility or that productivity. So being productive, I believe it's a key component of happiness.
Totally. Yeah. I really agree, yeah. And I think, like, one of the best ways for someone who's unhappy or depressed is just to do one thing every day that makes them feel productive. Because then at the end of the day, they might say, it might not have been the perfect day, but at least I did X, Y, Z. And that little thing is what will totally change your mindset.
That's right. You know, another way that sometimes I explain happiness to my clients, to my friends, is that I try to make a distinction between happiness, the word happiness, the word pleasure, and the word joy. Many times we mix up these three words together. You know, pleasure, what is pleasure to you?
Pleasure is something that's in the moment. For example, eating a piece of chocolate could be very pleasurable. You're not really thinking about the later implications on it, but it's providing you a sense of in that moment only.
All right. So then, as you correctly suggested, the pleasure is coming from outside of us. You know, it's an outside resource. It's through food, through activity, through companionship. It's something that is coming to us inside of us, is a kind of joyfulness or feeling fulfilled that is just coming from an outside resource. On the other hand, then we have joy. Joy, to me, is that inner sense of surrender, that inner sense of being connected to a source that is trustworthy of that connection. So we are not separated from a universe that is love, and we are coming from the other side, which is joy, to this earth that is filled with, you know, difficulties because of the way that it's naturally set, you know, the hardship that is, you know, as a being on earth. So having that inner joy when we breathe, and then it's coming to the surface of this earth and living as human being, that joy is often enough connected with. We're not feeling that joy. Although we all have joy inside of us, it's a godly gift that we all have, but the shell of our body and going through the pains of life doesn't allow the joy to be present and be sensed in now. And the only way that we, some of us, experience that joy by pleasure, by taking something outside, bringing it inside of us, and feeling as joyful. However, I distinguish happiness as somewhere between this joy and pleasure, you know, because this happiness is where there is an opening in the shell, in the defense mechanism that we have created around us. And now once we can connect the pleasure from outside with the joy from inside, we can be in a happy moment. We can happiness. How's that for you?
Yeah, no, that sounds really great. And I think that's a really interesting perspective. I had never heard of thinking of happiness in between pleasure and joy, but that really resonates with me.
Great. I'm sorry to tell you, but I think there is a dog behind you. So is it possible that, you know, there is a sound coming behind you and our listeners are not going to enjoy our conversation as much? Is there anything you can do about that?
I can try to move where I am to make sure everyone's hearing me okay.
Thank you so much. Okay, so let's get back to the conversation. So then how do we achieve happiness based upon what you and I are suggesting? What are your suggestions for our listeners to experience happiness?
I think a lot to experience happiness is integrating daily approaches in your life that are aligned with who you wish to be. So, for example, if you've always loved art, I think it's really important to do something creative every single day, whether it's just drawing a piece of paper or maybe signing up for a class that you've never taken before or something that just brings you closer to your greatest goals. A lot of times we forget the things that we used to love as children, so it's really important to take a look back and think about what is it that makes me genuinely happy when I'm not thinking about anything else and I'm fully present. And when you can think of those moments where your mind is not racing to anything else, I think that's what happiness is.
Beautiful. So in other words, the more action that we are taking in the direction of supporting ourselves to understand where our needs are, how we are not being fulfilled, and we take appropriate action, we take steps, we're being responsible for ourselves, that will create happiness, correct?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So that brings us to our, again, joint program together, which is the total balance. And that total balance is kind of what you were talking about from the beginning, the alignment of what you do and what you think, action that will create that positive flow of energy, which we call happiness. So I have figured out in my work, there are 8 areas that this happiness has to be experienced in all of them in order for us to have an overall sense of happiness. And those areas, number one, is our physical being, which in your work, you know, with being an Ayurvedic nutritionist and doing sport nutrition therapy and a lot of the work that you have undertaken, a lot of them deals with that physical aspect of the person's being. Tell me a little bit about your experiences and how you've seen this physical, at least from the nutritional part of it and physiological part of it, is supporting the people that you deal with.
Well, you know, according to Ayurveda, the mind and the body are connected as one entity. And in order to feel balanced, like you were speaking of, your mind and your body need to have that connection with one another. So exercise, I think, is one of the best ways, because a lot of times we lose sight with what our body needs. So through exercise, we're able to tap back into our most, you know, primal instincts, feel our bodies again, and that leads to further alignment.
Definitely. And then how does food come into this, the nutritional part?
Well, again, food is medicine. Everything that we put into our bodies either helps us get closer or further away from our goals. So when you're treating your body right and you're eating it, you're treating it with the food that it deserves, you're able to have more energy and be more productive and give your all to yourself. When you're not eating the right foods, you feel tired, you feel lethargic, maybe depressed, and you're unable to be your highest self.
Right, right. So, again, in other words, when you are taking something valuable of the natural resources that are given to us, the gifts that are produced by nature, the productivity of nature, if it's taken by us in a correct amount, in a way that is balanced, and we are aware of how to utilize it in our well-being, can support us, can sustain us, can give us the growth and the power to stay alive in an appropriate way and be helpful to others.
Yes, exactly that.
Right. So that the physical part, the way that I look at it, as we talked about two parts of it, one is about the exercise and the muscles and the structure of the body and how important it is that we are keeping, you know, the lubrication or the flow of the energy in the body. The other part is in our digestive system, the food that we take in, what kind of minerals or nutritional values are entered to our body and how they get processed. There are two other components of physical that I always attend to. The other one is our sexual life, and the fourth one is our sleep patterns. The sexual part, does that come anytime to your attention from the people that you deal with? Do you see how that is important to them?
Definitely. In yoga, the sexuality is under the tantra. So a lot of people, they hear tantra and they think of it as this, like, strange sexual thing. But actually, it's a very deep meditation where you connect with another person to get to know your true self. So I think a lot of times people have sexual problems because they're not connecting with themselves first. So they're seeking that happiness in someone else, and that's how someone can become sexually addicted or engaging sexual habits with the wrong people simply for the attention with it. So I think it's really important first to tune into yourself and your own needs, and then you're better able to express those needs with your partner.
That you said it so nicely. You know, when we're talking about the well-being and the eight spokes of the well-being, and as my organization is called the Wheel of Well-Being, that every wheel, especially if it's a wheel of a car, you know, you need to inflate this tire. You know, the tires need to have a certain amount of air in them, so that if it's lower than that, you know, it's going to run flat and it's not going to give us the performance that we need from the car. It's going to go slower. It's going to be stuck. If it has too much air in it, it's going to bounce off, and it's going to be a very uncomfortable ride. And as our human body, we can compare ourselves with that tire or with that wheel and notice that how, when our sexual needs are not satisfied or oversatisfied, when our food values are not being sustained or being overly consumed, when physically we are challenged so much and we are using our bodies out more than what it needs to be, used for, or if it's underused and is not really exercised, and also the fourth place in our sleep, if we oversleep or undersleep. In all of these cases, that wheel of well-being, that tire that we like, that, you know, it's either it's bouncing off or it's going flat. And the only way that I have learned that we can address this is by exercising it, by understanding it, by taking measures that are bringing that extra air out and inflate it with the reduced air inside of us. And the only person who can help us to do that, to do this kind of a balancing act, guess who's that person? Just us,
ourselves.
Right? The only person who can do it for you is you, for me is me, and for every listener that's listening to us is that one person. Because no matter how other people tell you, you're still not going to do it because just they tell you. The only time that you can start getting this balance is when you decide to start acting upon it and finding out what you can do. Correct?
Yes, totally agree.
So what are part of the things that you do in one of your typical, you know, client sessions? Because I know you do yoga, the Ayurvedic medicine. I know you're also a good dancer because you're going to be teaching a dance class, you know, with what we have put together, which I think that's the most exciting part of this retreat, for me at least, you know. The dance of ascendance, which I'm not going to give all of the details. I want our, participants who are coming just experiencing it without having a pre-judgment about it. But in a nutshell, it's how we become this evolved human being that is balanced. And I love what you're putting into this from movement and dance. So how does all of this run in a typical session for you with different clients?
So what I like to do with my clients is I like to assess all areas of their life, from their nutrition to their mental habits, their characteristics, and things like that, and then create custom suggestions exactly for them. So I integrate the food, the nutrition, so giving them the best recipes specifically for their body, as well as the best methods of exercise for them, creating a lifestyle routine of when to wake up, when to have meals, when to meditate, giving them custom affirmations, which I think is also very important for happiness. So an affirmation is to say a sentence that starts with I am. So I am grateful, or I am powerful. And it's really fascinating because when you actually verbalize a sentence like that, even if you don't believe in it, your brain starts to. So for a lot of women per se, let's say they have emotional eating, they may say, I am in control of my body, or I am satisfied with who I am. And just repeating these mantras essentially every single morning and night is enough to create that mindset inside of yourself.
So the affirmation is a message that we are sending to our mind in order to change our belief system to what it has not been used to. Is that what it means?
Exactly. So even if you might not fully believe it, by just saying it, you're actually getting yourself closer to believing it. And it's really interesting. For some women, it's very hard to say, I am beautiful, or I am worthy of being loved. Just that sentence, they might start giggling or laughing, and it shows all of the kind of fear that comes around just saying that. So it's really important just to practice every single day, just having one affirmation and setting that as your intention for the day. I think with intention comes a lot of power.
Right. That's great. I got to share something with you. In my practice, as a psychologist, I'm certified in a practice called EMDR, Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. And part of the work that we do with the client is kind of similar to that. However, we work on the negative beliefs first before we get to that positive affirmation. So first we try to understand what is this person believing negatively about themselves, because those negative beliefs are most of the time hidden. You know, if a person believes that I'm undesirable, so they do not feel that they're beautiful. And as you said it very wisely, they have a very hard time to say that I am beautiful, because the belief system that they've been running with for years and years is telling them that you are not desirable, you're not wanted, you're not loved, you're not cared for. So all of those are running in the background. So that person is not going to have any positiveness in them. So I'm understanding that by the affirmation, at least they have a base to change that old belief and start figuring out that there are other ways that they can look at themselves.
Definitely correct. Yeah, it's really incredible the power of just setting an intention, verbalizing something, you can see dramatic differences in such a short amount of time.
Which kind of now we segue into the second part of the total balance. The total balance, as we said, first part was physical, which we talked about the physical aspects, you know, the nutritional value, sexual, and sleep patterns. The second part of this balancing act is our emotions, and that's what we just segued into, because emotionally we have those negative beliefs, you know, that they are undercutting all of the things that we can accomplish. And something else that needs to be balanced is our brain power, because we are born with a certain intelligence. We are born with a certain IQ and a DAN, that the DNA that has a certain outcome and output. So that is an automatic part of our humanistic being, which also needs to be attended. So the mind and the emotion are the second and the third components of this well-being. And I got to tell all of our listeners that in a program such as the Total Balance that we're running, hopefully there are going to be more programs like this in the United States, because this is something that I truly believe that every person needs to have. And as the nonprofit organization of All in Health Foundation is going to bring this balancing that you and I are talking about, it has more depth and more sides and facets to it than just the physical part of it. So the mental part of it, the emotional part of it are as important. And also the relationships, you know, how we relate. Like, let's use our own example. You and I met probably about 2 months ago through a mutual friend, but the relationship needs a certain practice also. If we're not valuing the relationships in a proper way, in an appropriate way, nothing comes out of it. We cannot blossom the relationships to anywhere. How are your relationships with people around you?
Yes, I think our relationships with the people around us are an exact reflection on our relationships with ourselves. So I think if you're experiencing a lot of trauma or negativity, we should take a look inside of ourselves and see what are we doing that might fuel this, because I'm really blessed and lucky to be surrounded by inspiring people, and it's because I have really worked on myself to have gotten to that point where everyone I see is a reflection of me, and I'm really proud of that reflection.
Which kind of, again, you're doing such a great job taking us forward, you know, which is the second point I was going to bring up. It's our environment. So the environment is going to be a reflection of who we are. If our physical, mental, emotional, and recreational values, which, you know, how we take care of ourselves and how we are having fun with life, as you and I are having fun just talking to each other with our listeners, then the environmental conditions where we are living in, they become either helpful to us or hurtful, depending on who we are and how we interact with the environment. If you are living in a city that is crowded and is busy, and if you are becoming a part of that culture, then guess what happens to you? You start suffering. But in the same city, if you have your own sanctuary, if you have your own group of friends, if you have your own, you know, little gorgeous natural parks that you can go in, or the beaches, or anything else that you can enjoy, if you do not utilize the environment in an appropriate manner, still you're going to be suffering.
Definitely.
So I'm sure a lot
agree.
Yeah, and probably a lot of people that you deal with and they need your support, when you go into their lives, you see that the environment that they live in is not inducive to their well-being, correct?
Definitely. I think a lot of people, when they are unhappy, they look at, well, my friend or my husband or my son is like this, but they don't really take a look inside of themselves. So it all starts with self-nurturing and self-care and taking, that's why I think retreats are so important, because it's just taking 2 days for yourself. But in those 2 days, which you people make excuses all the time, I have to take care of my kids or I have these plans. But in those 2 days, you're going to become so much more efficient and loving in all of your relationships and everything that you do for an infinite amount of time afterwards. So I think it's really important to sometimes take a step and make that time for yourself, even if it seems selfish, it's actually not, because then you're able to give the most back to the people that you love the most.
Amen. You know, this last couple of months, as you know, I'm involved with this retreat and putting it together and kind of overseeing the registration, who's coming. You cannot believe how many of the answers that you just gave I have heard. You know, I have this to do, and I have that to attend to, and I have this kid going to, this program. And there's so many reasons for not to take care of yourself. There's so many reasons not to respect your body, your mind, your emotional well-being. And that is unfortunately what happens. You know, in my profession, I deal with people who are not taking care of themselves, and that's why they go to the conditions that they go. But with no exaggeration, I can report to you that a good 70-80% of the people around us, they are these people that you just talked about. They are those who are busy, busy, busy with doing little things that they need to do without taking proper care of themselves. And really, it's, you know, my heart gets squeezed when I see them not realizing that. There is nothing I can do much about it. All you and I can do is to come on the radio or, on the internet, or just broadcast and do our work. But, you know, I believe even if we can influence one person at a time, that's an amazing number. Because if one person is following this lifestyle, the lifestyle of Earth becomes better. Everybody else in it becomes better. So I'm really hoping that with all of this that we're saying and what we're doing, we can increase the awareness on the need for self-care, self-efficacy. And if we're not attending to that, guess what happens? We lose self-worth. We lose self-value. And the whole program that we put together on June 27 and 28, it ends up with adding value to yourself. So again, one more time, you're so smart, you just went ahead and you brought the values in. And if we do not have values, then what's going to happen? You know, if money is just one form of value, but the value that you give to yourself cannot be measured by any amount of money.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think that oftentimes the things that we make ourselves busy with, we think that they're going to make us happier, get us closer to our goals. But sometimes taking a step back and not doing those things and doing something totally out of your comfort zone. A lot of people have never gone on a retreat anymore. The idea of it might be a little taunting for them. But you're only going to achieve the same results if you're doing the same thing. So I think it's really important that if this opportunity is presented, Simple, then I mean, it's really the best part about this one, I think, is that you don't need to stay overnight anywhere. The retreats that I have led have been in India or in Costa Rica, so people have to take a really big leap of faith coming with me to the other side of the world. But with this, it's like you'll be sleeping in your own bed. You'll just be with us from 8 in the morning to 8 at night for just a weekend. And the amount of insights about yourself and about your body and your soul that you'll gain from this is going to continue to pay you back for weeks and months after.
Well, I believe in that, and I believe that if we can utilize ourselves, the one of the first words that we used today was productivity, was utilization and alignment. So in this type of a retreat, what happens is we are getting realigned and our productivity increases. So both of those words are the key elements of a healthy lifestyle and good relationships, financial freedom, friendships, anything that we imagine in life that creates value and brings happiness to us is relating to that alignment and productivity. And in a retreat like this, or any other retreat, however, this retreat I'm a little bit prejudiced about, because we have thought of every little thing that could be possibly throwing somebody off balance. So we have thought of nutritional values. We have one of the best nutritionists in Los Angeles with us, Linda Nahai. We have you as an Ayurvedic nutritionist with us. We have a very fine company called Philosophy, who creates nutritional bars and juices with us in this retreat. We also have the physical part covered by classes of yoga, spin. We have Zumba dance, and we have a synergy class, which is a very unique class taught by actually a psychologist. His name is Terry Simpson. He's been teaching this class at Equinox for the past 12 years, and he's one of the most popular teachers. So he has created his own program in connection with the Total Balance the second day of the retreat. And so there are amazing ways of connecting to the body, mind, soul through this workshop, a retreat in the 2 days. And as you said, you know, we don't even have to stay overnight. We can go back to our own bed, sleep there comfortably, and come back and enjoy what is being prepared and just take it in, you know, just come in like a sponge and just absorb it all, whatever that you can take. You don't have to take what you don't want to, but if you're open and if you're ready to receive, there is a lot to be received by you. Would you agree?
Totally. And I think receiving is one of the things that people have the biggest problem with. And that's actually keeping them from being happy, because a lot of times, women especially, they feel the need to constantly give and give and give. And they're driving their kids from appointment to another. They're taking care of their entire families. But when is it that they get a chance to receive? And if you continue eventually you'll become empty. So I think if you love your family and you love everyone around you, then you should take that time to really receive and gain and sit and listen and, exactly like you said, be that sponge. Because how is a sponge going to continue to grow when it's constantly being wringed out?
Absolutely. And another word that you just mentioned, feeling empty. You know, that emptiness is what creates depression. It's what creates anxiety. It's what creates ailments and sicknesses and, you know, physiological problems. That emptiness is the key to all of the problems that we have. So in order not to run out of gas, not to run out of air, and not to run on empty, we need to be able to receive. And if that reciprocation is not there, if I cannot receive from you and you cannot receive from me, guess what's going to happen? You know, we're both going to be running on empty, and then no productivity is going to come out of this.
Totally, definitely. With balance, it needs to be a balance of giving and receiving. So most of us have a difficult time taking it in, and we're just giving it out.
And what you mentioned about women, I'm very sensitive to that issue, because somehow through cultures, certain cultures, most of the cultures, you know, the femininity and masculinity are not understood that correctly. You know, we think that because, you know, I'm a man, you know, I should not have any femininity in me, and a woman should not have any masculinity. However, that's not true. These feminine and masculine energies are needed to be balanced inside of us. Somebody who is overly feminine, you know, and is not feeling any masculinity is not going to be able to have a more fulfilled life, because it's going to react. She is going to react in a certain way towards the other sex. And a man the same way. If a man is just macho and, you know, just, you know, I'm tough and, you know, I don't have any softness in me, so that femininity is not experienced, and there is no sensitivity, there is no connection, there is no, you know, love or good emotions coming out of this person. So the context of femininity and masculinity is going to be played in this retreat also. We have Roy Chan, who is a famous actor. At the same time, for the last 25 years, he's been involved in sexual healing. He is running a class on the first day, and he is dealing with that femininity and masculinity inside of our bodies, and that needs balancing. And I'm glad to tell all of our listeners that if you attend to this workshop retreat, you will find out how your masculinity and femininity has been off balance and how it can be adjusted also.
Definitely.
Kind of mentioned
really,
that about tantric yoga and how yoga does that, and he does it from yoga standpoint also.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, I think a really great practice is to imagine yourself as the other gender. So if you're a female, imagine the male version of yourself, and if you're a male, imagine the female version of yourself. And what would this person be like? What would they sound like? What kind of interests would they have? And for most of us, it's actually quite difficult to imagine that because we're so disconnected from that side of ourselves. But really, we are all a balance of the male and the female and male energy. And in yoga, it's called the Shakti and Shiva energies. And in order to find our perfect balance, our partner, we need to be completely at harmony with our masculine and our feminine within.
Should I tell our listeners that you're going to be doing some of that in one of the dance movements?
Yes, that's definitely going to be part of it. I teach a lot of divine feminine work to women. So just as out of touch women are with their masculine sides, a lot of women are out of touch with their feminine sides. And they're stuck in that masculine because we live in a patriarchal world where in order to succeed, you have to achieve the most and step on the person's next few toes. And a lot of women don't feel comfortable in even their femininity anymore. So it's really important to take a look at both and see where you stand. And I think with the dance, it's a really great way because it's a nonverbal expression.
So how did you get to be so smart?
Oh, I don't know. It's just wisdom that's somehow come to me.
I cannot still get over, you know, your age and the words that you speak and the wisdom that you have. You know, it's really amazing. And, you know, I love you for that. And congratulations for who you are. And I'm so joyful to be connected with you and, you know, doing this retreat together and hopefully beginning of many other works that we'll do together. You know, if you have any last words, last comments, for our listeners, we have a couple of minutes to wrap up. So I want you to just give, you know, what's in your heart and how you see that people can benefit from this retreat.
So I remember when I started my entire spiritual journey, I started by signing up for different programs. Even though I didn't know anyone there, I didn't know anything about it, and I would just sign up for these programs and learn. And it's only through seeing everyone around me as a teacher that I was able to become a teacher myself. So really all of this wisdom and everything that I've spoken about is just little tidbits of things I've learned along the way. And since I've put myself out there, whether it's going to a new country or going with an NGO to a third world nation, and or even just going to a meetup in my own city with people I don't know, all of these constant little exposures are what allowed me to create my own reflection on all of these different things that I've seen.
So in other words, it's your experiences that you have had and practicing those experiences in different, you know, ways or in your own way to learn them and to adhere to them and to have productivity from them.
Definitely. And just saying yes, because there are so many reasons that we all say no. So my mindset every day is just say yes as much as possible.
So allow me to give the information for those who have not registered yet. We don't have much time left. The retreat is next week, June 27 and 28. For registration, go to Wheel of Wellbeing, WHEELOFWEELLBEING, Wheel of Wellbeing /balance. So it's wheelofwellbeing.com/total-balance. Or you can call 310-477-8833, 310-477-8833. If you cannot make this retreat, we'll be having more coming up in different equinoxes around Los Angeles first and hopefully in the other areas. Stay tuned and stay in touch with us, with me and Sahara. And we look forward to seeing you soon or talking to you soon and be in touch with you. Thank you so much for the time that you gave us. And I hope that we were able to give you enough information in about balancing and you will start looking into it yourself. What you say, Sahara? Goodbye.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And my website is eatfeelfresh.com. And if you have Facebook or Instagram, it's also Eat Feel Fresh. So I would love to stay in touch with all of you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me as well at sahara@eatfeelfresh.com. And I really look forward to meeting you guys all next week at this wonderful, wonderful retreat that Dr. Sadiq has been working so hard putting together, and not only for my workshop, but also for all of the other amazing activities stacked. It's really going to be such a mind-changing, altering experience for every single person lucky enough to participate. So I say, why not? Try something new, and you never know where the road will take you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And my Facebook is Dr. Daniel Sadiq, and I look forward to be friends with you. Thank you. Have a wonderful day, and goodbye.